Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the first hour of this evening, they're going to be your views, too, because this is Open Lines Wednesday. And we're going to talk about, well, whatever you'd like to talk about. I thought we'd start out this evening by talking about what's happening on the financial markets of the world, because we are on the edge of a chasm that, well, there is really no escaping from. And now if you're watching what's going on in the world, why, Mr. Paulson has been over to China, trying to get the Chinese to raise the value of their currency, the yuan, so that they will not be so competitive, their goods won't be sold so cheaply here in the United States. They've already raised the yuan about 4%, but we want them to raise the value of their money a lot more so that our goods will be more competitive and their goods will be less competitive. And the Chinese, through their various commentators, key people in government, are beginning to talk about the nuclear option. The nuclear option. And they're not talking about nuclear weapons. They're talking about something far more devastating than nuclear weapons, and that would be the financial weapon where they hold probably $800 to $900 billion of American dollars, at least $800 billion of American dollars. And if they were to actually raise the price of their currency, they would have to start selling those dollars, and they dump those dollars on the market. They could destroy the value of our currency and plunge everybody listening to this program into abject poverty, literally overnight. That's the nuclear option, and the Chinese are saying, we really don't want to do that, but you wouldn't want to force us to do something like that, would you? And the great tragedy is, I don't know what our leaders would like to do at the present time, but I think that when you have a country that hates America, that where the leaders there have an entirely different worldview, having that degree of control over the future of the savings and the pensions and the incomes of the average American and most Americans, certainly their savings, their pension funds, everything they have is denominated in dollars. And their bank deposits, the bonds that they own, certainly the annuities that they have, the pension funds that are due to them, all denominated in dollars, and the Chinese communists could destroy the value of their savings overnight. That isn't a very appealing thing to think of, and I would think that our listeners should really begin considering what's going on. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to get your thoughts about what's happening here in the United States and across the world. So give us a call. If you don't want to talk on finances, I would be glad to talk on whatever you'd like to talk about. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. So far, 107 major lending funds that have been lending money for mortgages have gone down. We're talking about the last several months. 107 major lending funds. Several of the country's largest lenders, like American Home Lending, have just gone under, and, well, we'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Stan, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. We're talking about what is happening financially today as the whole financial structure of the United States begins to contract. Cindy, you've seen a lot of talk about major corporations buying up other major corporations, and somebody's buying Chrysler for $7 billion, and some company's buying another company for $10 billion or $15 billion. And up until now, why money was readily available for these corporate takeovers. But suddenly, for the first time in many years, why the money is beginning to dry up, and money is not readily available. It's not readily available for home loans, especially the more expensive home loans. It's not necessarily available for commercial loans. And as money becomes less and less available, we could begin seeing more and more contraction of the economy. Now, recently it has been suggested that Mr. Bernanke authorize or recommend federal regulation of both the hedge fund market and the derivative market. And both of these markets are really financial weapons of mass destruction waiting to explode. Or, certainly as Warren Buffett has referred to them, financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And certainly many people have suggested that Alan Greenspan regulate these markets so they could not implode suddenly and drag down the whole infrastructure of our financial system. And Alan Greenspan had specifically refused to do that, saying, oh no, we need this, it spreads the risk out. Hedge funds, derivative markets, these are wonderful, wonderful things. But the truth of the matter is, Alan Greenspan, he was eventually knighted by the Queen for his fine service to the Queen of England. Why would she want to, knight Alan Greenspan? Well, because, of course, he was carrying out the plan of these people who really run the world, including the Queen of England and the King of Spain and the royal family of the Netherlands. We call them the Black Nobility. But these are the people, of course, who work with the international financiers. And these people within the spiritual hierarchy, the princes and princes of this world. And, of course, their ultimate objective is to create a global financial crisis, destroy the currencies of the world, and out of that will come the demand for a new global currency, and which, of course, will mean the impoverishment of people, not only in the United States, but certainly throughout the world. And so Alan Greenspan did just exactly what he should have done. He laid the foundation for the collapse of our economy. Now, more recently, in the last few weeks, there has been a call for Ben Bernanke to regulate the hedge funds, regulate the derivatives, because if they do not regulate them, why, the whole system will collapse. And Ben Bernanke, true to his calling, has said, oh no, we're not going to try to do this. This is going to provide stability to our economy. Well, of course, he's lying. He's not telling the truth. Ben Bernanke, as Alan Greenspan, realizes that when the hedge funds and the derivative market fail, why, the whole infrastructure of the economy of Western civilization will fail, and that will be the end of it as we know it. And the great tragedy is, of course, that most people have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. We have a small group of people who control world banking, and they interlock with the people who control the great tax-exempt foundations, who control the great corporations, and, of course, who control the governments of the Western world. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we really would far rather hear what you would like to talk about or what your questions are. But right now, of course, as we begin looking, we saw last week a dramatic drop in the stock market here in the United States. But what you did not see emphasized was the dramatic stock drop in stock markets throughout the world, and especially last Friday. Now, because of the so-called plunge protection team, which, of course, is made up of certain of our banks, the Federal Reserve System, the U.S. Treasury Department, we have this total manipulation of our stock market, so it has no relationship to value. And, of course, usually just at the very end of the day, when the market's been down 200 or 300 points, Suddenly in that last hour in come all of these orders, and they're really coming, of course, from the people who can create money out of nothing. They are play games with our minds. They do not want us to be disturbed by the possibility of a disruption of our markets, and they're trying desperately to create the perception that everything's really fine, everything's going to turn out all right, and don't you worry at all. I mean, really, we have a very, very strong economy, and how can we have a strong economy when we're sending all of our manufacturing offshore? How can we have a strong economy when we're bringing in employees from all around the world to take the jobs of our own workers? I went to my ophthalmologist here this week, and his wife's daughter by another marriage, I said it works in management over in Silicon Valley, and simply said it was a widely known fact, and everybody over there knows it, that they're bringing in Indian engineers who will work for half the price of American engineers, and they're simply replacing engineers and other technicians. I mean, fairly highly priced and very skilled people with Indians who speak English very, very clearly, who are very well trained, who had top-notch training, and of course they're quite willing to work for half the price, and as a result, more and more Americans are losing their jobs, and when they lose their jobs, they're not going to be able to make the payments on their homes, and when they don't make the payments on their homes, why, of course, they're going to default, and there's a foreclosure, and one more home on the market now foreclosed, being auctioned off, and already they're auctioning off literally thousands and thousands of homes around the country, and more people are having foreclosures. I read an article the other day. We're here in the Monterey Bay area, including San Benito County, close to where I live. The increase in home foreclosures has gone up 10 times. Well, my telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Ken, who's calling us from Seal Beach. Hi, Ken. How you doing?
Pretty good. There's something I think you should know about. I think you'll find it interesting. It's not really off the subject in a sense. Okay. I had a conversation.
We don't have a subject. You can talk about whatever you want to. Go ahead.
Thank you. I had a conversation last year with Rex Hutchins, who is probably the second highest Mason. I'll tell you why he's the second highest Mason. The current Sovereign Grand Commander of the Masons is elderly and ill. And Rex Hutchins is about 60 years old. And he wrote the book, A Bridge to Light. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am. That's the one they use now in place of Morals and Dogma.
That's correct. And I, of course, I read Morals and Dogma, as you know, and wrote about it. And I read his book, A Bridge to Light. And oddly enough, his number is, he's in Tucson, Arizona, his number's in the book. So I called him up. He answered the phone. It was about noon or so. And I told him, I gave him my name, and I told him I had to do this. I said, I'm not a born-again Christian. I just got done reading your book, A Bridge to Light, and I also read Morals and Dogma. I have some questions. He said, oh, very good. And we talked about the book Morals and Dogma, and I said, you know, I have a question about this. Can we go to page 321, where Albert Pike says that Lucifer is God? And I said, he's saying here that Lucifer is God. Is that correct? He said, that's absolutely right. I said, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow. And he said, it may be, but Lucifer is God. I said, let's go to page 859. We went to page 859. I said, it says here that Lucifer is both good and evil, and we're supposed to worship both sides of Lucifer. And he said, that's absolutely right. And I said, I find that a hard pill to swallow. He said, well, it may be hard, but it is the truth. So he let his guard down, and telling him I'm not a born-again Christian, he figured, well, this guy may be a good guy to become a Mason. And he admitted that they worship Lucifer. And this is the man who probably will be the Sovereign Grand Commander either the end of this year or beginning of next year.
Well, Ken, you know, I think that's really very, very, certainly a fascinating story, and certainly everything you say is really true. Because what most people do not understand is that modern-day Masonry is really a rehashing of the ancient Gnostic beliefs. And the ancient Gnostics, as you read Morals and Dogma, as you try to understand what, of course, they're saying, it really doesn't make sense. But they tell you the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden, where, of course, the demon told Adam and Eve that they should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the angel of light you know, told them to go ahead and eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that that gave them freedom.
Yes.
Now you read that story, and you say, what in heaven's name are they talking about? And so much of the book doesn't make any sense until somebody explains to you that the Gnostic belief that there were two gods. There was, first of all, the god of the earth, and he was sort of really sort of inferior god who made the heaven and the earth. His name was, so I think it was Adelbaugh, and I may be mispronouncing that, but it's, don't get it mixed up with Amenemhat, John, but something of the sort. And then, of course, then there was, then, of course, his sister, Sophia, and I believe somewhere Lucifer, I think Lucifer was Sophia's son, and he was the real god. And so there's another god among them, but there's Adelbaugh, and then there's Lucifer. Yeah. And, of course, the real person that you could trust was Lucifer. So they believe that there are two gods, and that Lucifer is the important god who will really do right by us, because Lucifer gives us freedom. I mean, the god that we worship, the god of the Bible of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has all of these restrictions. He says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal or covet thy neighbor's wife or bear false witness. He's putting all restrictions on you, whereas Lucifer gives you total freedom. And if you tap into the power of Lucifer, you will have great power and influence. And this is really why, down through the ages, many of the great men of the past have actually tapped into that other power, into this other dimension. And this is where Alexander the Great got his ability. This is the secret that both Plato and Aristotle understood, and that Thomas Edison understood. I mean, where do you think he got his ideas for the electric light and all of these wonderful and amazing discoveries he had? Anybody who reads the history of theosophy will realize that Thomas Edison, the man who discovered the electric light bulb and so many other things that we use today, was deeply involved in the occult, and he got his ideas from the other dimension. And our hope is, of course, that people will understand that there really is a spiritual dimension. It is really what is running things here in the world today, but so that we do not want to tap into it. This is where the mediums are, where the diviners, where the fortune tellers, where the clairvoyants get their ability to anticipate what's going on, where many times they can actually commit do almost miraculous things.
Yes.
This is, of course, where the UFOs come from, these demonic beings of the UFOs. Mm-hmm. But, of course, but the average individual has no idea. It's almost as if you and I live in one world, and because our ministers are not telling people the truth. I think that's fascinating. You got a chance to speak to Rex Hutchings. So.
Yeah. I thought it was a fascinating conversation. And what was interesting is that about maybe 4 or 5 months later, I thought, well, maybe I'll try to give him another phone call, and, you know, see if he has some other ideas. And I just had a feeling he wasn't going to call me back. And when I called, he wasn't there at the time. I just left a message, and of course, he did not call me back. And I'll bet you that he said to himself, "What did I tell this guy?" But all he did was confirm what I knew anyway.
I know. Well, I think it's fascinating. I appreciate so much you telling this story. Have you seen Chris Pinto's excellent DVD, Riddles and Stone?
I haven't seen that one.
Well, it's well worthwhile getting, because he interviews some of the leading Masonic apologists.
Mm.
And there's this one fellow who brings up the subject of the name of their god, Yabalo.
Yabalon.
Yabalon, right. And, of course, he tries to explain why the middle part of that is Baal. Of course, that's the devil. And have you ever heard anybody embarrassed explaining why they worship a different god whose name, and part of the name of their god is the devil? It's well worthwhile the price of the entire DVD. It's called Riddles in Stone.
I think I'll get it.
It's well worthwhile getting it. Hey, look, anything else you'd like to say?
I think that's about it.
Okay, very good. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
The significance of many of the things he wrote, but one of the things he said was that the purpose of this secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created, that it led to the formation of the Council on Foreign Relations in the United States and the Royal Institute for International Affairs in Great Britain and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and other of the Commonwealth countries, was to bring the kingdom of God to earth. But I don't think he understood what God they were talking about. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, how are you?
I'm doing just great. I have a question or comment.
Well, I hope you don't ban me from calling your show after this. On Book TV, two or three weekends ago, I saw Vincent Bugliosi speaking about his new book. Have you heard about it?
Oh, is this the one where he says that, it's, that Oswald was the lone gunman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. I've heard about the book. I'm not gonna buy a copy, however.
It's $50 at the bookstore.
Well, of course, I guess some people do anything for money.
Sir?
So I guess some people will do anything for money.
Well, I don't know enough about it, to be honest with you. What his, comparing the evidence to evidence and so forth. So I was just curious if you had heard and what your impression was.
My impression of it is he's not telling the truth. But the thing is, if he were telling the truth, do you honestly think he'd be getting a great play in the media across America? Do you think that they dare to let the American people know that when John Kennedy was murdered, it was a coup d'etat, and of course they had to get rid of John Kennedy? He was far better off as a dead martyr than, of course, as a live philanderer, which he was.
I see.
And so basically, I mean, I've talked to too many people who were, involved in one way or another with the assassination of President Kennedy. I mean, do you realize there were over 115 people who were associated with the assassination who all died within a year or two?
I didn't.
Well, of course, actually, yeah.
I'm only 47.
Okay, well, basically, Sydney, there was a book we actually carried by Craig Roberts, went into the background of that, and I think the book is still available up on the Internet. You can buy used copies of it. It's out of print right now, it may be available, just the text of it, but there's no question at all. I've talked to Lyndon Johnson's mistress. In fact, we have some great four-tape sets on the subject, and there's no question at all that this was actually a CIA hit. In fact, our friend Daniel Marvin, Colonel Marvin, when he was at assassin school, why the CIA told the young men from Special Forces who were working, who were training to be assassins, that Kennedy was a CIA hit. They even explained how it was done. But it was because, of course, he was the enemy of the country, and that's why he had to be killed. And I think a lot of good people might very well believe that story. Without ever realizing, of course, the truth of the matter was that, I mean, this was simply a convenient way of getting rid of John Kennedy, getting us into the war in Vietnam, and of course, bringing about the Great Society. That's what it was all about, I'm afraid.
Alrighty.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say? No, I'm not going to ban you from calling. I think it's a legitimate question, and I think it is the discredit of Mr. Pelosi that he would write a book of that sort.
Sir,
I really think Mr. Pelosi. I'm ashamed of him for doing that. He obviously hasn't done his homework.
Well, in his defense, he explained how he got involved. If you need to go, just let me know. I won't go through it. But
no, go ahead. You go ahead. How did he get involved?
Back in the 80s, 83, 84, he was approached by the BBC, and they actually put on a trial in England of Lee Harvey Oswald.
Mm-hmm.
They got a Dallas jury, a Dallas judge, and flew them over there. He was the prosecutor.
Right.
And the Jerry Spence was the defense attorney.
And I saw that. I saw that exchange.
Oh, I see. Well, after he did that show, he got really interested in this, and he says he's been working on this book since that time.
Well, he hadn't talked to a lot of the people that I've talked to. He had to talk to, he can't talk to Madeline Duncan Brown, who is Lyndon Johnson's mistress, because she's gone to her eternal reward. But, there's even people that have openly admitted that they were there on the grassy knoll that day. I just think he hasn't done his homework very well. But thanks very much, Jim.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, our local number, 464-8295. And if you have a question, a comment, you can talk on anything you want to. So give us a call. But right now, let's go to Carlos is calling from Carson, California. Hi, Carlos. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Very well. There we go. Holding up, you know.
Good to hear from you.
Yes. Listen, I've been having some thoughts, well, for quite a while, about something that seems to be very inconsistent there in Iraq.
Okay, before we do that, let me give out our telephone numbers, okay? It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. So you give us a call, and we'll get to you as soon as we get through talking to Carlos. But Carlos is saying that he sees some inconsistencies at what's going on in Iraq. So develop your idea of it. I mean, I think with two ounces of cerebral matter must be able to see that we're not being told the truth about why we went into Iraq, why we are staying in Iraq, why we've never tried to win the war in Iraq, why we're sending our boys there to fight and bleed and suffer and die without either adequate equipment or without adequate men, and how our federal government could just accidentally lose 190,000 automatic rifles and pistols. How could you do that just by accident? I mean, you would think that somebody would have had track of 190,000 rifles and pistols. That'd be an awful lot of things to carry away in the back of your car. But go right ahead, Carlos.
Well, yes, Dr. Stan. I mean, it's saturated with inconsistencies. One that bothers me quite a bit is this. We managed to portray our news media and our government as the Islamic people as a bunch of religious fanatic zealots, okay, who have so much hatred for us, okay? Yet, when we look at the death count of Americans over there, it's almost a consistent 3 to 4 soldiers per day by a roadside bomb, or something to that effect. It doesn't deviate much from that. My thought is this. If these people are so, if they hate us so much, would they repress themselves into having sort of a formulated plan of...
Hold that just for a moment. We're bringing the stations on board. Our caller is Carlos from Southern California, and he is simply saying that some of the things going on in Iraq do not make sense. And so that he was pointing out, we lose 3 or 4 boys a day, usually from roadside bombs. But you know, do the Iraqi people really hate us? I think they resent us being there and having killed probably between 600,000 and 800,000 Iraqis and having destroyed the infrastructure of their society and destroyed the value of their currency, really totally disrupted their lives as ruthless as Saddam Hussein was. Remember, we kept him in power. He worked for the CIA in the 1950s. We helped him assume power in 1979. We financed him all during the 1980s. If you've read Robert Baer's book, See No Evil, and that's the book on which George Clooney made the movie Syriana, if you've read the book, See No Evil, why? Robert Baer, the author, says he never met an Iraqi who did not believe the United States government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. So then if we were keeping him in power, why did we go in and destroy their country and kill their people and their soldiers? And I can't say that I blame him for being a little upset about it, but our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Carlos, you go right ahead.
Yes, my thought was this again, that would they restrain themselves as much as they hate us and as much damage as we perpetrated against them to meticulously just restrict themselves to killing 3 to 4 Americans a day? I mean, that doesn't fit the picture. If I were them and they really hated the United States as much as we portray them that they do, I would have suicide bombers by the thousands here in America And I would have an all a total onslaught of war against the United States and Iraq. It would be worse than Vietnam. Yet that isn't happening. And it's because I believe the Iraqis are not the cause of our casualties. I think our own intelligence networks are perpetrating our own deaths over there. They probably pass along information to Asian provocateurs, maybe Islamic Asian provocateurs who work with the CIA. Then look, such a convoy is going on at such and such a time. Plant your bomb there and be ready. That's my picture of what's going on. I mean, most of the deaths that occur are Iraqis themselves. It's absurd to think that they want to kill themselves off instead of killing us.
Well, I think that very little that's going on over there is as is being portrayed. I mean, there are many, many stories, and I can't verify them. There are some stories that sometimes Iraqis are arrested. They're taken into the green zone. They're told that they have to give up their identification papers, and then if they'll just drive this car over to another police station, they can get their identification papers back. And, of course, they get in the car, they drive it, and when they get into a market, the car explodes and kills a lot of people, so that these are not suicide bombers. These are people being suicided. Is that true? Well, there are a lot of reports coming out of there that is true. I believe, of course, that they basically there are some Sunni people there who are fighting us. I believe that there are very, very few people, very, very few Al-Qaeda. Basically, the figures we have, probably less than 2,000 Al-Qaeda. Who are the Al-Qaeda who are in Iraq today? Over half of them are coming from Saudi Arabia and being funded by Saudi Arabia that we're keeping in power. And some of the others are coming from Pakistan. And who's funding them? Well, the Pakistani government. And who's funding the Pakistani government? We are. Nothing as it appears to be. If the Iraqi people and the Muslims of the world hated us, they would be coming across our unguarded borders and committing all sorts of acts. They could start massive forest fires. They could poison our water supply. They could simply derail our trains. You know, it's easy to derail a train out in the middle of nowhere. None of these things are happening. Our borders are wide open. Everything we know, I believe we're being lied to about. And this is the great tragedy. Nobody ever asked why, if we're really involved in a war on terror and we're afraid of the terrorists coming in and attacking America, why the president has steadfastly refused to seal the southern border. And the reason is he doesn't believe what he tells us that we should believe. Anything
well,
else, Congress?
Dr. Stan, you're so right. I think we are supplying the weapons covertly to the Islamic people. The other day, the Free Press reported that an Islamic agent was caught the other day, a sniper, and his sniper rifle was made by Zapata Engineering, which I believe is a quasi-Israeli-American firm, which is under the auspices of the Mossad.
Well, I wouldn't have any question that sort of thing would happen, but, I mean, the announcement this last week that 190,000 automatic rifles, Kalashnikov rifles, and automatic pistols had just somehow disappeared. I mean, does anybody ask how you could be that incompetent unintentionally? I mean, you certainly don't. I mean, if an American soldier, you know, is given a rifle, there's a record kept of it. And if he doesn't turn that rifle in, well, even when he gets out of the military, well, he'll be charged for the cost of the rifle, $700. He lost a rifle while in combat. Maybe he was wounded. Maybe he had his leg shot off. But he lost his rifle. He's going to have to, of course, pay for it. And yet, of course, they can suddenly, without any explanation, and nobody knows how it happened, I mean, lose 190,000 automatic rifles and pistols, and then another $12 billion has disappeared over there, and nobody knows what happens to it. I mean, who do you think is funding the other side? Who funded the communist order in the Vietnam War? why your tax dollars? Who is funding the Taliban up there in Afghanistan? Why they're being funded by the Pakistani intelligence, the ISI? And who funds them? Why the Pakistani military, funded by the Pakistani government, funded with your tax dollars? It's Vietnam all over again.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're absolutely right. You know, they make a big case that Iran is supplying weapons to the Iraqis. But then again, if we go through the chain of command, we know that Iran gets their weapons from China and Russia, which in turn have historically gotten their supplies and materials from us, technology, everything.
Right.
So there goes the trail. You know?
Well, let me suggest for our listeners out there, my last four newsletters, that would be the March, April, May, and June newsletters, and they're available on the Internet. If you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, and it goes into the funding of the Russian communist movement and touches on the funding of the Chinese communist movement, but it's primarily the history of Russia, both up to the time of the Vietnam War and then in recent years since the so-called fall of Russia. And simply using government documents and publicly available documents off of the Internet, we simply point out that there is no question at all that Russia and Russia's ability to, for instance, become the greatest oil producer and natural gas producer in the world today, and to build the pipelines that can deliver their natural gas and oil to the marketplace, was all funded with American money, from the Export-Import Bank, from the World Bank, from the International Monetary Fund, from the Asian Development Fund, from American banks, from American corporations, and of course our allies, British Petroleum and Shell Oil, and these all, of course, are interlocked into this brotherhood of darkness of great corporations. And of course they tie into royally British Petroleum, being controlled in large part by the British Crown and the Queen of England, the Royal Dutch Petroleum being financed and controlled by the Dutch royal families. So when you begin to understand how this all works together, we've created the best enemy money could buy in Russia and China, and now we're creating a similar enemy in Iran, and I fear that those weapons that Iran is receiving from both Russia and China will soon be used against American boys fighting in the Middle East and against Israel.
Yes, Dr. Stan, I read your newsletter, and what people don't realize is that our aid to Russia goes all the way back to 1917,
right,
when we financed our banks here on Wall Street financed the Bolshevik Revolution, the Schiff family, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and we had the Harriman family with through their Barnsdale Corporation propping up their petroleum over there, building their refineries and given them technology to prop up their oil industry.
And
this goes all the way back to 1917.
And don't forget, of course, Armand Hammer, of course, who was a great supporter of the Soviet Union, and, of course, his very close relationship with the Gore family. In fact, nobody ever wants to talk about that, but certainly the Gore family got their money and backing, and certainly Senator Gore's father, Al Gore's father, was able to get into the Senate, and Al Gore got in because of their relationship to Occidental Petroleum, Armand Hammer, who was such a good friend of the Russians. But, of course, in a long-term Soviet apologist, what was so strange was to find him being invited to the White House and certainly feted and celebrated there by none other than Ronald Reagan. So we have to say that sometimes nothing is it appears to be. But I share your concern. Incidentally, if any of our listeners who would like to get copies of those four newsletters, we call them the Capitalist or the Communist Capitalist Alignment, Communist Capitalist Alliance, why, of course, we're making those available in booklet form. We think it's excellent material. You need to get people to understand how we always fund the best enemy we can buy. Anything else, Congress?
Well, Dr. Stan, the subject real quick. This week we had all these candidates, so-called, for office. And the only good guy I see up there is Ron Paul, because I believe all of them have a lot of dirt behind them. Giuliani, for instance, I was reading a book called The Blood Bankers, in which the author makes a strong allegation that Giuliani, when he was head of the Justice Department, whitewashed an investigation into some of the big banks, like Citigroup, Chase Manhattan, and their fraudulent practice, lending practices in Latin America and Asia, where there were a lot of tremendous irregular things that were going on in the lending practices, such as money that was appropriated for certain projects being misappropriated and sent into Swiss bank accounts, things of that nature, and tremendous cost overruns over what was originally projected. And apparently, there was a big investigation on this, and Giuliani whitewashed the investigation, and the author makes a strong case that that's why he was given the majorship of New York City.
I think it's probably true. Giuliani is certainly not an honorable man.
Exactly. And then I think, my own opinion here, just trying to connect the dots, Dr. Stan, is that he might have been involved in some fashion in 9/11 out of Bunker 23 in Building 47. That was
we will never know for sure, Collins. All we can do is conjecture. Hey, yes, look, thank you so very much for calling. Appreciate it. God bless. It's always good to hear from you. And let's go, of course, to Peter, who's calling from Salinas. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good, thank you. God bless you, sir. I would like to call to your attention today that the president met with the Treasury. Were you aware of that?
Well, what specifically? George didn't call me again today. He just doesn't pay much attention to me. Go right ahead. What happened when he met with the Treasury?
Apparently, he was trying to assure Americans that there's a soft landing ahead for the housing market. And you, Dr. Stan, have warned us all along that they're propping up the stock market. They've got billions of dollars sitting there to cover both the long and the short. Am I correct on that?
Well, they've got a lot of money out there, but they're not going to be able to prop up the stock market, indefinitely. But right now, certainly, they are manipulating the stock market.
Do you believe they'll be able to manipulate the stock market long enough to blame it on the Democrats? That's my question this evening, Dr. Stan, is that, again, I can't thank you enough for your trying to remind all Americans that your position in this economy cannot be in dollars. It absolutely must be in gold. Always has been, and I don't care, Dr. Stan, if you'll allow me, I don't care if you put that gold into your safe deposit boxes or into your mouth. Please get out of dollars. Am I correct, Dr. Stan?
Well, be careful of your safety deposit box, because in the past they simply seized the safety deposit boxes, which is what they did in 33, and they took everything out of it, watches, everything that they
wanted to,
and they held it for 50 years, right?
Again, as a younger man, I think, and I can't thank you enough for telling us what happens when it crashes, Dr. Stan, if you wouldn't mind. And I'll turn it over to the other listeners. Thank you very much.
All right, fine. Thank you, Pete. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I do know that we're going to see a inability to get money to certainly to buy things. There's going to be a tightening down of credit. Right now, the inflation rate is about 11.5%, and of course, they're simply lying to us. The inflation rate, when you get into the amount of credit that they're creating, in other words, you create money and money increments, but then you create credit, you're talking about pushing 13.5%. That is getting up to the real rate of inflation, if not this year, next year. And that, of course, will lead to a total destruction of the American dollar, which is what they want. Why do they want to destroy the American dollar? Well, very simply, If you're going to have a world government, you're going to have a global currency. And how are you going to get a global currency? The American people don't want to give up our sovereignty, our currency. So you've got to destroy it. You've got to destroy our currency. You've got to destroy our sovereignty. And I'm very much afraid that this is exactly what they have in mind. Well, I always enjoy Open Line Wednesday. I hope you do too. And we'll be back in just a minute. We've got Peter, we've got Jack calling, and we'll talk to him briefly, and then we'll of course get on to the next hour right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were planning on taking Jack, but I guess we've missed Jack. And so what we're going to just point out is the fact that right now you're beginning to see a lot of the banks being very, very careful as far as their loans are concerned. You see, in a fiat money system, when banks can create money out of nothing and lend it out, and they can lend out 10 times as much money as they have on deposit, and then, of course, there's nothing behind the money because there's no gold backing for it. So the government can create as much money as it wants to and just print the money, pay its bills that way. And then the banks get that money, and they can multiply that through the fractional reserve banking system. And so it's almost as if the good times are going to go on forever. But when you get to a certain point and the whole system begins to contract, as it is doing now. And if it were simply that all we had to worry about was the United States, they might be able to keep it together. But I'm very much afraid that we now have a global economy. And we have some other countries that are interested in their own nations. India, with 1 billion people and a vibrant and growing economy. And China, with 1.25 billion people and a vibrant and growing economy. And the leaders of these countries aren't necessarily going to go along with our effort on the part of our elitists to enrich themselves and impoverish people in other nations, and they're not going to play the game. And so there's going to be real problems. And remember the nuclear option, and that is the term that the Chinese communists have used for their ability to simply collapse our economy by beginning to sell off the massive $8,800 billion or more of U.S. currency that they're holding today. Would you really want to have the future of yourself and your family at the disposal, at the whim of the leaders of the Chinese communist world? Because, of course, they would not really be worried about hurting their economy if they could destroy their greatest competitor, the United States of America. So I think we're in for a very, very difficult time in the weeks and months that lie ahead. We've already started our financial descent into chaos, and we hope that many of you out there will, of course, listen to what we have to say. Remember, I'm not a financial consultant. I'm simply an amateur historian, but I've been studying it for 45 years, and we have some awfully smart people we rely on who see the chaos that's coming. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, we're out of time, and that's Jack back on the line. I'm afraid that we're at the end of the program, and if he wants to call in the next hour, fine, but right now we're just going to have to send the remind our listeners of Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really depend upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. If you'd like to know more about what's going on financially, let me suggest a little pamphlet we put together based upon some of our newsletters. It's called The History of Money, or What You Should Know About Money, and it's simply five of my newsletters. And then, of course, we have a talk. It's called The Financial Tsunami. It's available on VHS or on DVD. And it comes with a syllabus, and you get the two together. There's a special consideration, but I think it's a very important message. And it points out that we are entering a perfect financial storm. Everything is coming together, and just as a tsunami has created a wind of Christie, conditions, the seismic conditions are correct, and it generates this massive wave. So we are, have entered a perfect financial storm with an aging population, massive fiscal deficits, budget deficits, and international deficits, with the carry trade, with the derivative market, certainly with the oil situation dependent upon foreign oil, rather than developing our own oil resources, which are more than adequate. And then, of course, the housing crisis, the globalization, the shipping of our jobs and manufacturing offshore, all of these things are laying us open for a great economic contraction. So let me suggest to you the talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus, and then, of course, the best single book I know on the subject, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read it, you need to. The second book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. And the third book, just a little inexpensive book called Fiat Money, Inflation in France, the story of what happened in France in 1789. Must reading for anybody who's interested in knowing what's going on. You can get that by itself or with Bastiat's book, The Law, which is a classic and explains what's wrong with socialism. And so these, if you'd like to know more about this, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us to getting our material on The Forbidden Secret. It's a talk which will explain to you the secret that has been passed down through the ages for 5,000 years. The secret that's been passed down through the ages for 5,000 years, and of course it was known by Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great and Thomas Edison and Emerson, and I really believe that this is true. I believe many of the great men of the past have known this secret and have utilized this secret, and it's given them great wealth and great power. But of course it has brought tremendous suffering to others. I believe that Adolf Hitler was tapped into exactly this same source of power. And so we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, and of course, this is the time when we do hope that many of you out there, will tell others about our programs and encourage them to listen and help us to get the truth out about what's really going on today. The best thing you can do for anybody is to introduce them to this subject, because it's eventually going to lead them to a personal relationship with our Lord. Because behind everything going on today are the powerful spiritual forces, both from the light side and the dark side. And we hope that the people, that you and the others, will choose our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, our guest this hour is Mary Starrett, who's been certainly on radio and television in the past, and she ran for governor up there in the state of Oregon on the Constitution Party ticket, and now she is working full-time as the publicist and public relations and press representative of the Constitution Party. Now, of course, you know we have two parties in the United States. We have the Republicrats. They're made of the Republicans and the Democrats, both controlled by the same people. And then we have the Constitution Party. So for the views of the leaders, one of the leaders of the Constitution Party, Mary, it's good to have you with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, tell us what is going on from your point of view. Now, what is your official title?
My official title is Communications Director for the National Constitution Party. And believe me, getting the word out is what people are all about these days. There seems to be so much interest in third parties, especially a constitutionally based third party. And we are at this point, according to voter registration, the largest third party in the country.
Well, very good. And so basically, do you think that people really understand the Constitution, that the leaders of both of our conventional parties, the two large parties, they are committed to the destruction of our Constitution?
Well, I think what people need to remember at this point is you basically have globalists in both parties masquerading as, in other words, as if the two parties were in any way different. They're not. The same people, as you mentioned, are controlling both parties. We're going in the same direction with whoever we put in office. So for people to say, well, we have a Republican in office, so we're going to have limited government. We have the most bloated federal budget, bloated federal government we have ever had in the history of the Republic. Our amnesty, you take a look at the amnesty bill, take a look at our immigration policy. All of these things brought to us by a Republican administration that a Democrat would never even try to get past muster. But we have to look at the numbers. At this point, according to a Zogby poll, 67% of registered voters said they're completely unhappy with the political status quo. They said the Republican and Democrat parties have got to have some either infusion of real constitutional government or else a third option. They showed that 80% were frustrated with the two-party system because, as we've, you know, come to the conclusion, the two parties are one and the same. So they're now inclined to ditch the myth that our country is best served by having two dominant parties because they both just scratch each other's backs.
Well, then on the other hand, they tell us that if we don't get behind the Republicans, why we're going to end up with a radical like Hillary Clinton in power.
Well, again, I would like to see what the difference would be if you've had a radical leftist Republican and a radical leftist Democrat. What's the difference?
And if you look at some of the people who are running for the presidency on the Republican ticket, an awful lot of them do look pretty far to the left, don't they? In fact, you know, other than the position on the war, why, they're just about the same as far as the voting record is concerned. And, of course, even Hillary Clinton voted for the war. And of course, Edwards voted for the war. They both apologize for it, though. They both say they're just so sorry that they did what they did. We'll be back in just a moment with Mary Starrett here. Well, Mary, you go right ahead now.
Well, that zombie poll I was talking about, Dr. Stan, showed that 47% of Republicans are very dissatisfied. Now compare that to 21% of Democrats who are dissatisfied. So So what that boils down to is that the Democrats are happy with who their lineup is for president in 08. But if you look at the current crop of Republican presidential candidates, the GOP faithful have very little hope that they're going to get to vote for someone who represents them. So they're very discouraged. So you have almost half of them saying that they're dissatisfied. They should basically look at, as you mentioned, the voting records of all of the Republicans. Now, every single one of them, with the exception of, you've got Giuliani, McCain, and Romney, are so far to the left that any constitutional conservative couldn't possibly consider voting for them. Now, they might look at Huckabee, Brownback, Thompson, and Gingrich. However, if you look at their voting records, it's not even a little bit more encouraging. Now, if you look at the numbers of people who consider themselves Republicans, that's been falling for two straight years. That's about 30%. The number of people who identify themselves as Democrats has also fallen to the lowest level. So if you look at it, what we're seeing is that Americans are continuing to lose faith in what I call the big box parties. So we have, for the first time ever, and I think this is really well worth noting, the number who are not affiliated with either major party has jumped to almost 33%. So that means there are more independents than there are Republicans. So then, here we have the Constitution Party. It's the only pro-life, pro-secure borders, pro-Second Amendment national political party, saying to people, okay, the numbers are there. People are saying they would love to have a chance to vote for a third-party candidate, as we're seeing with the Ron Paul phenomenon, when people are begging him to run as a third-party candidate when he doesn't get the Republican nod. But people are so fed up with it, they are truly saying at this point, we can no longer buy into this two-party system because it will not bring us a return to limited government.
All right, well, I think that certainly I'm... as you look and see what the people in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party stand for, they're all globalists except for Ron Paul, as far as I can see. They all support this idea of giving up our sovereignty. And isn't it interesting that this is never a major source of discussion at these major debates?
Not at all. And that's the thing where it's very interesting to see how the question...
Hold that thought there.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Mary Starrett, and we're talking about the fact that if you are watching the debates, certainly as far as globalism is concerned, both the leaders, both the Republican candidates and the Democrat candidates avoid the subject. And yet, of course, if you find out what they really support, both the Democrats and the Republicans support globalization. In other words, doing away with American national sovereignty, forming the North American Union of the North American community, this idea of doing away with national sovereignty, not only in our country, but certainly throughout the world, and creating this world government. They all support these concepts of the United Nations. None of them would say, we ought to get out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. So pick up the story there. Is this an issue that many Americans are concerned about today, or is it just a few of us, reactionaries, who feel that maybe these old ideas of sovereignty and Americanism are worthwhile trying to preserve?
Well, if you take a look at how the kids are being indoctrinated in grade school all the way through high school and college, the idea of, individual nation states is now anathema. We think now of this, act locally, think globally, and we're just one big, giant, happy family. And the fact of the matter is we cannot be for very serious reason. And that is, if we are to give up our sovereignty, we are also giving up the guarantees that we have in the United States that no other country enjoys. The constitutional mandates, the limits on government, the checks and balances, the freedoms, the liberties, the civil liberties, all the Bill of Rights, no one else in the world enjoys that. Well, what we would be doing if we signed on to a North American Union or one big happy family, a North American country, is that we would be giving that up. And in giving that up, we become like a third world country in that we would then have some of the issues that countries like Mexico and Canada have. Canada has serious issues, and Mexico has serious issues, and we enjoy freedoms in this country simply because of our sovereignty. And yet that seems to be an issue we don't talk about because, well, you know, we don't want to, you know, limit ourselves to just being United States. That's short-sighted. But if we're going in the direction of moving away from sovereignty, and therein lies the danger in that we will be losing our constitutional guarantees.
Now, maybe you could tell me this. You know, certainly the Queen of England is the Queen of the Sovereign of Canada. So if we merged with Canada, would that mean that the Queen of England would be the Sovereign of the United States?
Well, that's a very good question. I had never really looked at it that far. But I'll tell you what, people don't realize that Rudy Giuliani has been working very hard with his company, his practice down in Texas. He has Rudy Giuliani is working with his in his law firm to basically work and to make sure that the NAFTA superhighway becomes a reality. The name of his firm is a Houston-based law firm, Bracewell and Giuliani. They have been working for years so that a Spanish corporation named Cintra can operate miles of U.S. highways. So in essence, he has helped to make sure that foreign interests can turn our country into a very profitable toll road that compromises our national sovereignty, and it turns parts of Texas into an international freeway system. Everybody knows, who's been paying attention, of course you won't read about it in the mainstream press, that Trans-Texas Corridor is a globalist dream come true. It will cut the country in half to allow containers from abroad to go through Mexico, bypass ports in California, on their way through the United States and into Canada. So now it all makes sense. Rudy Giuliani has been opposed to securing the southern border. He's been really rah-rah on the amnesty bill, and he's for a guest worker program, and he has a pro-illegal alien track record, goes back all the way to when he was mayor of New York, and now we understand that he is profiting personally because he has been working to make sure that the Trans-Texas Corridor or the NAFTA superhighway becomes a reality.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting that according to our Constitution, why Giuliani is not eligible to run, because there is a place in the Constitution where no person who is affiliated with our government can simply hold a title of nobility from a foreign company, from a foreign country or foreign sovereign, without the full permission of the Congress of the United States. And Mayor Giuliani has been knighted by the Queen of England, which would make him ineligible to hold the post of presidency without the consent of the Congress of the United States, as, of course, Sir Alan Greenspan, Sir Ronald Reagan, and a number of the other key people were knighted by the Queen of England.
And
nobody ever mentions that. I wonder why.
That's very interesting. I had not thought of that.
Right. But then most people don't think that. I mean, I'm not suggesting you don't think, Mary. But, you know, until we begin to realize the implications, that nothing as it appears to be. And, of course, one of the great forces behind this move towards globalization is Prince Charles and his mother, the Queen of England. And now, why are Americans accepting knighthoods from the Queen of England?
Well, that's a good point. Going back to Rudy Giuliani, I don't know if people are aware of the fact that he's been behind working to keep Purdue Pharmaceutical Company, which is the company that made OxyContin, to keep these guys out of jail. A couple of weeks ago, after a four-hour hearing, these guys admitted that they kept information from doctors in how addictive this drug was. People like Rush Limbaugh taking a pain medication became instantly addictive. Now, this is a guy who represented with his company, his other consulting company, Giuliani Partners. He spent 5 years negotiating with federal prosecutors to keep the Purdue Pharmaceutical CEOs out of jail. Now, you know, they got a $600 million fine, which is chump change, in the world of big pharmaceuticals, but imagine a drug that is called hillbilly heroin because it's so addictive. Imagine lying to doctors, telling them it's not very addictive, knowing that people were dying, becoming seriously addicted, and this is how he makes his money.
Well, of course, you know, and not only that, but he really doesn't look very good when he dresses up as a woman. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Rudy Giuliani cross-dressing, and as Chris says, Jay Leno says, you know, Rudy Giuliani says, if I say something, you can know that it's my word. And he says, and that's absolutely right. Why don't you ask any one of his last three wives about how he always means what he says?
Exactly.
So, I mean, really, what a motley group of people we have. Now, of course, you have other people that really are very, very attractive. You have certainly Romney, and whether you like him or not, he certainly is a very handsome individual. He's very well-spoken. He's got a lot of money. He professes to be very conservative and pro-life. And, of course, he keeps sort of changing his positions, but at least right now, and for the time being, he's pro-life, pro-family values. And, you know, he does quite well in the debates.
Well, I'd like to, you know, today the head of the American Family Association, Timothy Wildman, who is a standard bearer for Christian conservatives, said that he would endorse Mitt Romney because he's pro-life, pro-family. And people don't stop to do the homework on these guys. Yes, he's very good-looking, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan. Mitt Romney is very nice to look at, but this conversion to pro-life is just not, it's not fooling many people. When he signed into law not too long ago, RomneyCare, a health plan that forces the taxpayers of Massachusetts to pay for abortions. When he campaigned for governor, he campaigned as a pro-choice candidate. He was endorsed by a pro-abortion political group, and he said, quote, when asked, will I preserve to protect a woman's right to choose, I make an unequivocal answer, yes. And then you hear him in the debates, and he talks about how, oh, he's so conservative. Well, guess what? People need to know he supported legalizing homosexual unions. He opposed the Boy Scouts ban on homosexual scoutmasters. He refused to endorse a Massachusetts constitutional amendment defining marriage between a man and a woman. And this is what he had to say about, you know, in Massachusetts they have the worst gun laws, the most restrictive gun laws in the nation. He said, we do have tough gun laws in Massachusetts. Quote, I support them. I won't chip away at them. I believe they protect us and provide for our safety. So he's not pro-life, he's not pro-family, and he's not pro-gun.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Mary, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Mary is one of the most articulate people and well-informed people we have in the conservative movement. It's always a pleasure to have her on. So if you have a question for her, you disagree, agree, certainly give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do you think of the candidacy of Edwards? Do you think his candidacy is pretty well over? Do you think the $400 haircuts is just too much even for most Americans to take?
Boy, that's a tough one. I would have to say right now it's between Hillary and Obama. Obama is so articulate, and he has you know, such a presence about him. For those who are against Hillary, Obama looks like he might be the next guy.
All right, fine. So, here's some people say that Obama and Hillary, or Hillary and Obama, would be an abominable an opponent to try to come up against. I just got a very, very attractive book in the mail today as a talk show host. Boy, we get these books all the time, and it was a picture of Obama on the front, and they're really, of course, pointing out all the favorable things about him. He certainly, as you say, he's very articulate. He's very, very convincing, and he seems to have captured the imagination of many people here in the United States. And the question is, are we ready for a black president? Well, of course, I don't care what color he is. How does he feel about America? Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've actually got Robin calling from Carmel, so let's just go to Robin. And hi, Robin, did you have a question or comment?
I do have a comment, Dr. Stan. I just wondered on the subject of the North American Union, which you were talking about earlier with your guest. Have you heard the that the bridge collapse in Minneapolis has been tied to the NAFTA superhighway?
All right. What are your thoughts on that, Mary?
I have not heard that. I've not heard anything, and I'm not aware of any connection being made at this time. But again, you know, at this point, I have to say I would believe just about anything anymore.
Yeah.
I think Robin, the thing was saying that there's a lot of Mexican trucks that are coming up now.
There are three stories on it on WorldNet Daily, all by Jerome Corsi.
All right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't think we can blame this on the North American corridor because it's not built yet. But I think that the big thing that we have to say is, number one, that the infrastructure of this nation is not being kept up. Now, there is plenty of money for this. There's a federal gasoline tax that is supposed to go into a trust fund that is to be used to build our federal highways and keep our federal highways in good condition. And that money is being systematically stolen. I mean, if you or I were to take money from a trust fund and use it for another cause, we'd go to prison. When, of course, the politicians do it, they get reelected. And of course, this is the thing. We need to repair our infrastructure. Right now, we need about $1.5 trillion to do it, to rebuild our bridges, to rebuild our freeways, to fill up the potholes, to do what needs to be done for the infrastructure of America, and we're wasting it all on this foolish war over the Middle East. So I'm very, very concerned about what's going on, and I think we're going to see more failures of this sort of our infrastructure as we move from being a first world nation to a second world nation to a third world nation, and that is the real plan.
Yes. I just wanted to mention that the I-35 is part of the superhighway.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think Robin brings up a good point, because once the Mexican, and there's a pilot program to allow Mexican trucks over the border outside of the regular buffer zone there, and that is thanks to President Bush. But once these trucks, by the thousands, start to come across the country, remember that there's no checks and balances on criminal records of drivers. There's no central database for criminals in Mexico, believe it or not. So we don't know the criminal background of these drivers. The trucks are not going to be passing any kind of safety standards. We've got environmental concerns, and then we have the damage to the infrastructure in the United States. Not to mention that they fill up on the other side of the border. We're not getting the gas tax that you pointed out, Dr. Stan, and yet they're going to be driving and using our freeways and our highways, and the loss of life that we have ahead of us as a result of accidents, as a result of just more criminals being in this country. It is astounding to watch.
Yeah, and I also might add that at least 12 states are passing resolutions in Congress against the North American Union.
So we've got a lot of people out here who are really concerned about it, but the elitists who really run the country, they could care less how the American people feel. They have their agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Robin's been calling in from Carmel, and she was pointing out that all across the country, 14 or 15 of states have actually passed resolutions against the NAFTA superhighway. Certainly in Texas, the legislature, they voted strongly against it, but the elitists in Washington, D.C. do not care how as common people feel. They have their agenda, and they have their loyalty, and their loyalty is not to America. It is to the New World Order, the New World Religion, and the New World Leader, who is their God. So, anything else you want to say, Robin, before we let you go?
No, thank you. That's it.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much. I wish you'd get everybody over there in Carmel listening to us.
I try.
God bless. Bye. Thanks so much. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling us from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd like to ask one of the lesser of several questions. Could you tell us if the Constitution Party is tentatively floating any presidential aspirant?
Well, at this particular point in time, you know, the way it works is that legality-wise, we have a nominating convention. And at a nominating convention, those who are have been nominated will be, a candidate will be decided on, and that will not be until the spring. So at this point in time, there have been a number of people who had expressed interest. Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's done a lot of the work on the NAFTA Superhighway and the North American Union and his new book, The Late Great USA, he was interested at one point, but because of his commitments and spreading the word about the NAFTA Superhighway, he had to kind of bail out. But, you know, there are a number of different options. You know, we have Alan Keyes, who has spoken at our, recently spoken for the National Constitution Party meeting that they had in Boise. And I'll tell you what, Alan Keyes is a force to be reckoned with. Alan Keyes is potentially somebody who would consider running. Dr. Chuck Baldwin is somebody who would consider running. And there are those who say that perhaps Ron Paul, when he does not get the nomination by the Republican Party, big surprise there, that perhaps we could convince him to run as a Constitution Party candidate, and there certainly is the support there for that.
All right, fine. So, do you have another question, Ron?
Yeah, Ron Paul sounds a bit more leggy at this point, of course. And I'd like to ask, on the Ron Paul question, do you have any kind of research suggesting what kind of recognition and push Ron Paul has with that, say, otherwise relatively ignorant but stern conservative base, like we're told by the naysayers, you know, the blowhards and the boob tube, that, well, only within select, you know, internet polling and stuff does Ron Paul have these, you know, 20 and 30% leads on any of the other Republicans.
Oh, well, let's see. Do you have any idea how Ron Paul is really doing in the general polls other than the YouTube or the internet polls?
Well, there was recently an ABC poll, and what they kept doing and showed him the clear winner, and this is on ABC News and on ABC.com, and he was clearly the winner in the debate this past Sunday, and they kept resetting it and kept coming back and changing it, changing the numbers online. There was an outcry of people who emailed and said, you are changing the numbers. The numbers were clear that he had won that, and now ABC is acknowledging that he has far and away won the debate based on the numbers of people who had responded to that. So over and over, they're trying to deny the reality of this man's overwhelming support. But it's here, and it's there.
Yeah, lastly, after the initial surprise, at least a while back, and I assume this continues, is that he also has surprisingly huge support among otherwise liberals and socialists, but broadly Democrats, as well as the libertarians and those outside the far right fold. And do you have any read on and the speculation that like even the Hollywood's odds makers have it that he would be the only possibility for actually beating Hillary?
All right.
Well, you know what's interesting about this is the reason why this man, the sabotage against the numbers and in trying to quiet him down, is because they know if he got up and was nominated as a candidate, he would win hands down, because he does have, as you mentioned, that unilateral support across party lines.
And he must be doing well, because they've really put some nasty article in, all about him alone in the Wall Street Journal. So anyway, thank you very much, Roger. It's always good to hear from you. Bye-bye. All right, I get our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Mary Starrett of the Constitution Party. She's certainly a communications director, and she's doing a great job of reaching people out across America. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we do hope to hear from you if you have a question or comment, you agree or you disagree. Well, Mary, certainly in the past, why the establishment was able to pretty well control what the American people thought because of the fact that they controlled the major news outlet, the major news magazines, the major news newspapers, certainly the television stations. But now, apparently, with the Internet and certainly YouTube and shortwave, white people are beginning to think on their own and they're having other sources of information. Do you think that this is going to be have a big enough influence to influence the upcoming elections?
Absolutely I do. You know, it's been referred to, the Internet has been referred to as the musket of the 21st century, and that is because at this point in time, the media cannot control and government cannot control the information that goes out. It's wide open. And that is even the same with radio. People can hear different radio programs on the Internet, shortwave, blog talk radio. So if the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs and the Bill O'Reillys don't want to acknowledge Ron Paul or don't want to admit that there's the SPP or the NAU and the NAFTA superhighway, if they don't want to touch this stuff and they want to give lip service to the Bush administration, that's fine, because those who are paying attention, like your audience, Dr. Stan, will do an end run around commercial, quote-unquote, conservative radio, do an end run around the newspapers, which are just lapdogs for the government, and they will get their information on WorldNet Daily or News with Views, and they will find out. They will go to the Constitution Party website. They will find out what's really going on, and those are the people who are going to make the difference, and they are already. Just look at what's going on with Ron Paul. That'll tell us. The information is out there, and people are looking for it. They're digging it up, and they're handing it right back to the mainstream media.
Well, I think that we're living in very unusual times. Certainly the other side, and by that I'm talking about the globalists, these people who have a different allegiance, had never anticipated anything quite certainly dangerous to them as the Internet, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Mary Starrett, the Communications Director, and let's go to Jack, who's been patiently waiting on the line there. Hi, Jack. How are you doing? You have a question for our guest?
Sorry about the last hour. I kind of hung up too early there.
Well, that's all right. It's good to have you with. You have a question for our guest?
Yes. The Constitution Party obviously must emphasize the wisdom of the federal charter. And I want to focus upon eminent domain because I suspect eminent domain will be a lever that will be pulled often to facilitate the NASCO corridor construction. And so in reading the federal charter, it's interesting that in the 13th and 14th Amendments, there's a qualifying sentence that says, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So it says in the 13th, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude. Okay, well, the implication is voluntary servitude. It could have said no servitude whatsoever, but I guess it was so, abjectly repulsive at the time that no one could fathom that anyone would want to volunteer as a slave.
Well, now, you're talking about eminent domain, and you're talking about slavery.
Well, they're connected, Dr. Stan. Let me show you how, because...
All right, well, do you have a question for our guest?
I want to ask her whether the Constitution Party emphasizes the true knowledge, as it says in the Fifth Amendment, private property shall not be taken for public use, without just compensation. Now,
let's just take that one question and ask her. How does the Constitution Party stand on the issue of eminent domain? I don't think anybody would question the fact that if they wanted to build a school, if they wanted to build a highway, if they wanted to build something that was for the common good, there'd be a justification for taking the property with proper compensation. But the whole idea is the highway is not being built for the general good. It's being built by a Spanish corporation. And it is being built with the objection of the people, certainly of Texas and all throughout the country. So where would the Constitution Party feel on something like that? I think this is where Jack is going. Does he take a position on that, Mary?
Well, it's very clear that personal and private property security have been completely demolished. Private property, certainly one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto is to do away with private property. Little by little, we're seeing that this is happening, whether it's through seizure, whether it's through searches, whether it's through even the Fourth Amendment right of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, houses, and effects. All of these things are being attacked. So eminent domain is something that is an extremely important issue, and private property rights have got to be, we've got to return to the sanctity of property rights. And that is not something that we're seeing happen. On the local level, on the state level, we are seeing private property not be given the importance that it needs to be given. And without private property, that is certainly... You can't own property in many countries. Just look at what's going on in Mexico, for instance. So as far as private property goes, that has got to be a major consideration and a major focus. Once you take that away, we really cannot distinguish ourselves from a third world country.
Okay, anything else you'd like to ask, Jack?
Well, just quickly, the connection I spoke of is the fact that, at least in this county, I presume all counties, when you check with the treasurer and demand to see the law that requires anyone to record the private land deed, there is none. So then, why is there none, and what happens when one does?
I think that's way outside the back vernacular.
No, let me just.
Yeah. So anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Mary, we're talking about the issues that are coming before the Congress today, the issues that have to do with the maintenance of our freedom. And, of course, as Mary points out, if you look at our Constitution, you will never see the words life or liberty used, unless, of course, the word property is used in conjunction with that. The property and the right to property is the very essence of our ability to have our individual freedom. If you can't own property, you have no freedom. And step by step, they're progressively eroding that now, because the people in charge, the elitists, of course, wish to take away our freedom and to merge us into this one world socialist government with a ruling elite, a feudal elite, and then the impoverishment of the great mass of the people, exactly as they have in Mexico, as increasingly they're having in other countries throughout the world. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and we were simply pointing out that the living standards of the American people are already on the decline. People are making less in purchasing power today than they were 5 years ago. When I was growing up, a man could work and his wife could stay at home and raise the children. Now, of course, both the man and the women have to work. I had a gentleman stop by do some repairs on my copy machine the other day. He works two jobs. His wife works two jobs. They're doing it to put their daughter through Stanford University. $40,000 a year to put their daughter through a good school, but of course people are having to work double jobs many times just to survive. Increasingly, we're going to see this. I've read about a gentleman who had actually had a very, very high-paying job, suddenly got laid off. He had to take two menial jobs to make half as much as he was making before. And as this whole idea of globalization progresses, more and more people are going to find that they're having to work harder and harder to make less money. Have you been getting any feedback on people concerned about that sort of thing, Mary?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. I think it's really important that people realize that years ago when it was said that that Bush will make the middle class go away, and that's by design, because the globalists want basically two entities. They want cheap labor, they want slave labor, they want little minions to do the menial work, and they also want the people who are financially well off to be able to pay for government to run. So it is not by accident that we have seen the demise of the middle class in jobs that are moved offshore, where we have kids who come out of school and cannot do types of jobs that will require certain visas to bring people in from India and other countries to do certain computer work and diagnostic work and things, because our math and science scores are not up to par and we're not competitive. That's by design. So our kids are coming out of school stupid, and we're having to bring people in from other countries because we cannot. We're not up to doing certain jobs. And to see the middle class jobs being sent offshore, it is certainly not an accident. And people are concerned because it's starting to happen to them.
Well, you see, that's really when people get concerned. It's when it happens to them. When it happens to their neighbor, it's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
When it happens to them, it becomes a catastrophe. And people have to understand it is going to happen to most of the people in the audience. Certainly there was a gentleman who was an economist, and he worked, I believe, at Princeton, and he actually had recently calculated that there are about 40 million American jobs that can actually be shipped offshore and then just as easily in other countries as here, or certainly they can bring the people in from other countries to do those jobs. And when we lose 40 million manufacturing jobs, what is that going to do to the infrastructure of our nation? And I really think the people should stop and think about it. I mean, they're not going to be happy as long as any of the people in this country, other than the elite, have any form of economic security. Their plan is to impoverish our people and to do to America what the leaders of this country did to Mexico almost 80 years ago. Because believe me, the Mexican Revolution that took place in the 20s and 30s was funded and backed by the same forces in America that are manipulating things together today. And if anybody would like to verify that statement, we carry a wonderful book called No God Next Door, which describes the Mexican Revolution and the priests and the nuns hanging from telephone poles all throughout Mexico. Thanks, of course, it was a communist revolution. They had their communist government established, and it's still in power today. They've had a one-party system all these years. They have more billionaires than all the rest of South America put together, just like they have so many billionaires over in Russia today. They're all former members of the KGB. We'll go right ahead, Barry.
Well, I think people need to remember that all of the issues that you mentioned are deliberately being ignored by the mainstream media. And I think that it's come to the point where when you bring these things up and you have government officials and the mainstream media, like the New York Times, calling things like the SPP, the Security Prosperity Partnership, and the NAFTA Superhighway, and the NAU, the North American Union, when they call that stuff urban legend and urban myth, then you have to really start to be concerned, where on the one hand we have legislative action that are forming resolutions against the NAFTA Superhighway, and then you have people in government saying, I've never heard anything about it, and the New York Times says it's an urban myth. There is such a calculated effort to keep people in the dark. And why is it that the Republican Party is not bringing this up for debate? Why is it only that the Constitution Party, which is the largest third party in the country at this point based on voter registrations, the only party bringing this stuff up for discussion? Are we all so crazy that we are all coming under the assumption that these urban myths are real when they're not? They're very real.
Yeah, I think people only have to go to the Security and Prosperity Partnership website on the Department of Commerce, or certainly go to Joseph Corsi's articles, Jerome Corsi's articles, and WorldNet Daily, or get his book, his new book, Late Great USA, and we carry his other book on the Minuteman. You need to get this information. You need to get the four tape sets that we have of my interviews with Dr. Corsi. And there is no question that these things are real. You can get the book, Building a North American Community. We have a copy of it. It was published by the, well, under the auspices of the Council on Foreign Relations. And, of course, it's really all about the North American Union as we do away with the sovereignty of the United States. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to, of course, to have a question for Mary. Mary, how are you getting your information out across the nation? Because are you using call-in programs? Are you using the Internet? Is there any place that people should go to get information that you and your organization are putting out?
Yes, they can go to constitutionparty.com and sign up for our free email alerts. And every week we send out a communique which basically talks about our issues and some of the things that we're bringing to the attention of the American people. And yes, we're getting our word out through radio shows. But constitutionparty.com is a great resource because, in fact, the one thing we're really, really getting a lot of interest on is an article that I wrote which looked into the voting records of all the Republican candidates. And on there, you will see direct quotes with citations and all the, basically an analysis. And we're calling it Dr. No, the Seven Dwarfs, the Three Musketeers and the Seven Dwarfs. And what that does is it refers to all of the different candidates, looks at their voting records. And for those who think, for instance, that Fred Thompson is a conservative, we've just blown that to pieces. It's a total myth. He is extremely unconservative, and on every single issue, in fact, he supported, for instance, the McCain-Feingold Campaign Finance Reform Act. He voted to expand NAFTA. He's big on allowing foreign workers into the United States. We've got his whole voting record down there, funding for the National Endowment for the Arts. He was pro-abortion. He voted to fund the GOP Medicare prescription drug benefits debacle. He said, quote unquote, in his own words, abortion should be legal in all circumstances as long as the procedure is completed within the first trimester of pregnancy. That's like saying, if it's a little baby, we can kill it. If it gets a little bigger, we don't want to do that. So much for Fred Thompson being pro-life, pro-limited government, and not a globalist, because he certainly is.
All right, fine. And so how can people get that information?
Go to constitutionparty.com. And on there, we have an article that is basically gives all the information. They can just scroll down in the middle of the page, and they will see something called Dr. No, the Three Musketeers and the Seven Dwarfs, a constitutionalist view of the GOP presidential hopefuls. They can go on there and sign up for the email alerts, and they'll just get one every week. And they'll also be brought into the updates on who the Constitution Party is going to be running for president.
All right, fine. And there's Sydney. Now, who is actually the president of the Constitution Party at the present time?
Well, at this point, the National Committee Chairman is Attorney Jim Clymer, and he is an attorney in private practice that does a lot of work on property rights, on civil liberty type cases, and he also does. He is our national chairman at this point, and you can read all about him on our website, constitutionparty.com, or they can call us at 1-800-VETO, the number 2, Veto IRS. That's easy to remember. 1-800, the number 2, Veto IRS. And we can send out all kinds of information packets. But I would suggest people get acquainted with the Constitution Party, because we're going to be on the ballot. We're shooting for ballot access in all 50 states, which means we're going to be able to give people somebody decent to vote for in 08.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Mary Stavrett, the communications director for the Constitution Party of the United States. And we're going to be back in just a moment. Mary, you hang on until we're ready to wrap up the program. But Mary is certainly one of the most articulate guests we have, and it's always a pleasure to have her with us. Again, that telephone number, if they want to call, is what? Mary?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 1-800, the number 2, Veto IRS. Leave your information. We'll get back to you. We'll send you all kinds of literature.
All your thoughts. All right, Mary, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is just encourage people to think outside what I call the big box parties. The big box parties having morphed into one. No longer can we believe that there's really any different agenda with the two parties. The more we continue to believe that we have no other choice but, say, a Rudy Giuliani on one hand or a Hillary Clinton on the other, we are going to be duped into what a lot of people believe. Better vote for George Bush, because if we don't, you know, we were going to get a John Kerry. Would anyone argue that George Bush has done more to destroy the basic constitutional guarantees since he has been in office and has advanced a globalist agenda, and this is a Republican? So if you think that a Republican is going to be the answer, think again. We cannot afford another Republican, and we certainly can't afford a Democrat. So we need to start thinking like most people who are saying, 67% said they would consider voting for a third-party candidate. Look at what's happening with Ron Paul. The groundswell of support for what would be a sort of outside the mainstream, you know, good old boy, party boys, is looking at Ron Paul's success. It's not going to be Giuliani or McCain or Romney. None of those guys, or Fred Thompson. It's got to be somebody who is going to hold fast to the Constitution, and that's Ron Paul. Or if he doesn't decide to run as a third-party candidate, then they will have somebody on the Constitution Party ticket. So I would say get active in your local Constitution Party, because it is the largest third party. Get active and support the candidates in your area. And support the National Constitution Party, because we are on the move. And people are being driven to us because they're leaving the two major parties in droves.
All right, and what you're saying is they really have no other choice.
Well, you can't hold your nose and vote anymore. It doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. We've done it before. It's like being a battered voter. After a while, you stop believing the promises that the battering is going to stop. You pack your bags, you file for divorce, and you leave. You leave the party that has left you. The Republicans, remember, were the third party that came in when the Whigs refused to be champions of abolishing slavery. So we have to look at that again and say it is time for us to abolish a party that no longer represents us and become the new Republican Party, i.e. a Constitution Party, which is a very well-established party, and it's been going strong since 1992.
All right, fine. Of course, who remembers the Whig Party any longer? It's something simply part of history. Mary, God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Keep up the good work.
Well, good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we reach out across America by radio, by shortwave, by internet, by satellite, trying to educate the American people about what's really going on. And we have almost 60 outlets every single week. But, of course, believe me, it's an expensive proposition. And we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining us in this epic struggle in which we're engaged. Well, of course, to be able to put things into their proper perspective, you start out with Brotherhood of Darkness, and you learn about the background of history. You learn about the fact that there really are secret societies and covert organizations, lots of them. In fact, we've even come to learn about a few more since we wrote the book, but this gives you a good solid foundation, and the secret organizations that really do exist, and of course what motivates their leadership. So that's Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the DVD, the VHS, and of course there's an audio tape. We want you to get that information and read it and study it. And then, of course, then as you begin moving towards the graduate level, why you'll want to see my talk on The Forbidden Secret. That's The Forbidden Secret. You'll want to get my, finally the videos were made by Chris Pinto, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and then his next video, both award-winning, Riddles in Stone. That's Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And, of course, certainly my talk on The Forbidden Secret comes with a syllabus. You'll certainly do understand what Chris Pinto is saying in these two videos. You'll want to get the DVD of the talk he gave for Radio Liberty last November, and that's The Atlantis Connection. The Atlantis Connection. What does this have to do with Lost Atlantis? Everything. And until you understand what Lost Atlantis represented, you can't understand what America represents today, or why we're fighting in the Middle East today, and why we will continue fighting there, and why our troops are not coming home. And then, of course, the next step is why this last day or so, when, of course, President Karzai of Afghanistan was in Washington, D.C., talking to the media, and he was saying how great the Iranians were, how they were helping Afghanistan stabilize the situation and fight the Taliban. And President Bush contradicted the president of Afghanistan and said, oh, no, the Iranians are terrible. They're working with the Taliban. They're not fighting them. They're complicating the situation in Afghanistan. Who do you think knows more about what's going on in Afghanistan, President Bush or President Karzai? And why does George Bush want to get America into a war with Iran? Well, you need to know of the forbidden secret. You need to understand what is behind this. You need to understand the Atlantis connection. So we hope that many of you, of course, will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, pull down our newsletters, watch our DVDs there. You can watch many of them for nothing. You can listen to our radio programs on a regular basis. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell others and get them informed. There is a secret. There is a reason why our administration wants to get us involved in a war with the Muslim world. And, of course, you'll find that in our February newsletter. So we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.